Chapter 11. Love. White Fang was wary. He was still waiting for his punishment. He watched the men. At first they put some meat near him in the snow. He went up to it, expecting a trick, but nothing happened. He ate the meat. Then one of the men came near with more meat in his hand. White Fang stared at it. Was this the trick? Bit by bit, he went up to the man, keeping his eyes firmly fixed on him. Finally, he took the meat and growled, to show he wasn't to be tricked. The man started talking to him in a soft voice. It gave White Fang a strange feeling, as if an empty space inside him was being filled. Then the hand came again. Immediately he was wary. Now it was coming. The punishment. But the man went on talking in that soft tone. White Fang was torn. The voice made him feel calm. But the hand was a threat. He snarled and flattened his ears. Nearer and nearer the hand came. Then it touched his fur. He shrank down. It followed him, stroking and patting him, and rubbing his ears. "Well, I never," said Matt, scratching his head, puzzled. White Fang snarled at the sound of Matt's voice, but he did not leap away from the hand that was stroking him. This was the beginning of a new life for White Fang. For Scott, it meant hours of hard work and patience. For White Fang, it was the end of a life of hate. But things do not happen in a day. Scott was determined to use kindness to awaken White Fang's need to love and be loved. Once, White Fang had known this with his mother, but a life of hardship and cruelty had made him unloving and unlovable. Every day, Scott spent time stroking and patting him. White Fang still had his ferocious growl, but Scott noticed a new note, a purr of content. Slowly, White Fang came to trust Scott. He took it upon himself to guard his master's things, and while he was there, no man would dare to steal from his cabin. And when he was ready to work again, White Fang took leadership of the sled pack. Then something terrible happened. His master disappeared. He had noticed him packing his bags, but he had not understood what it meant. That night, he stayed awake, waiting in vain for his master to return. He wasn't to know that Scott had gone south to see his family. Days came and went, and still Scott didn't come back. White Fang became sick, so sick that Matt had to bring him inside the cabin. In the end, Matt wrote to Scott, "That old wolf won't work, won't eat. Ain't got no life left in him. Wants to know where you are. Reckon he'll pine away and die." One night, Matt was reading when he was startled by a low whine from White Fang. The dog stood up and stared at the door. A few moments later there was a footstep. The door opened and Scott stepped in. "Where's the wolf?" he said. Then he saw him, standing near the stove. He had not run forward, but stood watching and waiting. "Well, I never," cried Matt. "Look, he's wagging his tail." Scott strode across the room, calling to his dog. White Fang came to him. He was awkward and shy, but as he drew closer, his eyes looked full of light. Scott squatted on his heels, face to face with his dog. He petted him, rubbing his ears and stroking his back. White Fang responded with a funny, purring growl. But that was not all. He suddenly thrust his head forward and nudged his way between his master's arm and body. Here, all but his ears hidden from view, he nestled and snuggled. The two men looked at each other. Scott's eyes were shining. "Do you see that?" said Scott. "Lucky I could get back for a couple of months." With the return of his beloved master, White Fang got well quickly. He bounded out to meet the other sled dogs. Now he was king again.